How you like the weather? Going to go pick apples soon on my tree. No, not really, but it seems warm enough, so we do need some more rain.
Amen.
Okay.
Coming tomorrow.
Good. 1600. Good. Okay, we're going to have another word of prayer here before we get started, and I always get nervous when I get up here, so prayer helps. Father, we count it a privilege to open your word. We count it a privilege to be able to read what you have saved in the history of this world, where we have come from, where we are going, and especially the stories of other people, Lord, that have gone through this life on earth and their struggles, their triumphs, and we just like to read this in the Bible, Lord, and know that if they went through all this, we can too, Lord, with victory. Be with us as we open your word, and may we learn more about your character and your love for us, is our prayer. Amen. Okay, simplicity. But I fear, at least by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Okay, how many people like simple things? Simple things in life are free, right? What are some of the simple things in life? A sunrise? Talking with a friend? A smile? Yeah, maybe petting your dog or playing ball with your dog. Fetch. That's what I like to do. We have a dog that never stops. It was that? The air we breathe, right. Simple things. They're good. So the definition of simple things, the state or quality of being simple. How simple is that? Freedom from complexity, absence of luxury, freedom from deceit. Did we just read in the Bible about the serpent beguiling Eve? So, beguiling, let me get my little phone out here. Some things here I want to read. Beguiled, to influence by trickery, flattery, mislead, delude, to take away from by cheating or deceiving, to charm. Did the serpent charm Eve?
Yes.
And this is actually a good one, definition, to pass time pleasantly, beguiling the long afternoon with a good book. That's one of the simple pleasures. But most of the definitions of beguiled are not very good. And simplicity, I've already read some of the definitions, and it says freedom from deceit is simplicity. So we have two different things happening in this chapter, I mean in this verse, that Eve got beguiled, and then we were talking about the simplicity in Christ. I have an example of, would you call this simple? It's one of those simple pleasures of life, right? But can you create this yourself? It's kind of complex, isn't it? Here's another complex thing here. It's not the pen you see, it's what's written on it. It's called Zofram, Odansideron. How many know what that is? There's a few people here that know that. Let me read you the mechanism of action in the body. Odansideron is a selective 5-HT3 receptor antagonist. While its mechanism of action has not been fully characterized, it is not a dopamine receptor antagonist. Anybody understand that? Is that kind of complex? Okay. So we'll put the pin back in there. Yes, it's actually used for, it's a nausea drug. We give it to our patients before we put them to sleep, or if they're having chemotherapy, it prevents you from nausea and vomiting.
When they go flying.
Right, when you go flying, that's right. Okay, so much for the little iPhone here. So I like simple things, and Christ taught a lot in the Bible with parables, didn't he?
Yes.
And we can understand things when they're taught with parables and stories. So how many of you drove your car to church this morning? How many of you walked? Well, there's a few people that walked. Okay. How many of you got distracted and drove into the ditch? Nobody? That's good. I'm glad to see that. Okay. And how you got in the ditch, it might have been your fault. You might have got like pushed there by another car. But anyway, it's best to stay on the road, right, when you drive? So this text in 2 Corinthians, I had a problem with it. It talks about the simplicity that is in Christ. And let's go to Romans 8:33 in contrast. And when I read something like that, I go, how can that be simple, being in Christ, when Romans 8:33, and you might want to put these up on the board as I bring them up. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable. Romans 8, oh, I'm sorry, 11:33, I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong thing on my, 11:33, let's go to 11:33. Yeah. We'll get Romans 11:33 up there. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. How do you reconcile that verse with the simplicity in Christ? And it kind of actually tells us how to reconcile that in Romans 16, 25 and 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Now what does revelation mean?
To reveal.
To reveal. So something's been revealed to us, so it's not secret anymore. Which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets. So we see that the simplicity of Christ is made manifest to us in the scriptures. So it's not something that's unsearchable or past finding out. So I would like to use a simple illustration to show the simplicity in Christ that's mentioned in 2 Corinthians. And I have some things I want maybe Dale to hand out to everybody. And this is something we're going to fill in during my sermon. And there's 25 of those, so maybe share some. I don't know whether I made enough. This illustration, when you get it, I'm not sure whether you can figure it out or not, but I'll tell you what it is. It's a simple schematic of a road with two ditches, and we're going to try to explain this scripture in simple terms so that you can take this home and remember it forever, okay? And I have to say that this little drawing I got from a book by Carsten Johnson, who was a Christian professor of philosophy at Andrews University. So let's look at some texts to go along with this illustration. The first text we're going to look at, and I guess everyone doesn't have this. I'll wait till everyone gets a copy of this. If there's not enough, you can share maybe with the person next to you. And you're going to have a pen or pencil to fill some things in. So okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:11 and find out what we're going to do here with this little illustration. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. How simple is that?
Pretty simple.
So, okay. So, I gave my copy out to Dale to hand out. Here, let me just. So, I want everyone to put right under the dotted lines, put Christ. He's the foundation of this road. This is the picture of a road with two ditches, and the road's going someplace. And we're going to talk about where the road's going, and we're going to talk about the ditches, and we're going to talk something about what's under the road way down here. But that comes later on in this illustration. So Christ is the foundation. He's the foundation of our faith, isn't he? The foundation of the gospel. He's why we're here today, because we're Christians. So what happens on this road? If you stay in the center, you're not going to fall in the ditch, right? What happens when you... 1 Timothy 1, 5 to 7. We're going to go to that next. I have just lots of text. 1 Timothy 1, 5 to 7. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned. For which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm. Okay, so when you swerve, where do you go? And what's in the ditch? Let's go to 2 Timothy 4:4, and we'll find out what's in the ditch. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, which is Christ, the foundation, and shall be turned into fables. So you can put on each side of the road, you can put fables and fiction on. Fables and fiction on both sides of the road here, down in the ditches. And Jeremiah 16:19, also, we don't have to go there, but also lies and vanity. So we can see that in this illustration, Christ is the foundation of the road. And also, there's two terms I would like you to write too in the ditches. On one side, put materialism, and on the other side, put spiritualism. And these are the two ditches, these are the two words that are used in philosophy to tell you what's in these ditches. Materialism in one ditch and spiritualism in the other. And it's not my point of this talk to talk about dualism, but that's what happens when you get off in the ditch from Christ. Christ made us a whole man. He made us out of the dust of the earth. He breathed into us a living soul. We're one. We're a whole man. And dualism believes that there's either material or there's spiritual, and there's two different worlds. The world that Christ created was one. We are a one. We are a whole man. So if you're in one ditch of the spirit of materialism, the basis of that is evolution. Everything evolves from matter. It's all on its own. Spiritualism is where everything is right. And there's nothing. You go from one level of consciousness to another till you become one with nothing. So it's basically what Carson Johnson says, the ditches are a sham salvation. So don't get in the ditches. So how do we not get in the ditches? How does one get in the ditch, and how does one get out? Well, I would like to say that Romans 5, 18 and 19 tells us that we've all been in the ditch at one time. So we'll read Romans 5, 18 and 19. Therefore, as by the offense of one, and who was that? Adam. Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, their free gift came upon how many? All men unto justification of life. So Adam put us in the ditch. Adam and Eve put us in the ditch. Because the devil was there at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he had what? He had ditch talk, lies, vanity, promising them something else. So Adam put us in the ditch. Christ took us out. He took all men and put them on the road. The question is asked in Galatians 4:9. If Christ has made us free, then the question in Galatians 4:9, but now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, God knew where you were, He put you on the road, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? So, Christ put us back on the road, and there are people that are jumping off the road, driving into the ditches, and you ask, well, why? And John 3:19 gives us an answer to that. And this is the condemnation, that light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So if Christ has placed us on the road, and there's a light shining down at the end of the road, why do people go back in the ditches? They don't want their evil deeds to be revealed. What's that?
They want to be seen in the light.
That's right. They don't want to be seen in the light. Okay, so the next question, we've talked about the foundation of the road. We've talked about the ditches of the road. And what keeps us on the road? In John 12:32, there's several texts in John that we want to look up. John 12:32, we want to, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
Amen.
And John 8:12, it says, John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto him, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Amen.
Okay, so we see there that Christ draws us out of the ditch. He's the light. And then John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So between the roadbed and at the top, I want you to put a big cross right there. That's what keeps us on the road. And how simple is that? Is that pretty simple? Colossians 1:23 says, continue in the faith, be not moved away. If you move too far to the left or right, you get in the ditch. Hebrews 12:1, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us.
Amen.
And you might say, well, continuing in the faith, let us run. You might say that's not too simple, but 1 John 3:8, we're going to read 1 John 3:8. Colossians 1:23, and then Hebrews 12:1, and 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
Who's going to destroy the works of the devil in our life?
Christ
is. Can we do that?
No.
What we need to do is stay on the road and look at the cross and follow the light.
Amen.
And, you know, Christ has put road signs along the road, too. You want to draw some road signs along there? You can. Think of some road signs you want to put there. Because Christ is our foundation. How simple is that? The cross is there for us to follow. The signs are there. And it can't be much simpler than that. So where does this road lead?
Salvation.
So we're going to look up at Philippians 3:13. A lot of people get stuck looking behind them when they're driving, right? I have a tendency to drive, and my wife will attest to this, of, hey, look at that. Look at that. And she goes, watch where you're going. I haven't gotten in the ditch yet, but you can get in the ditch if you look around too much. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What are those things which are behind? Our mistakes, our sins, our old man, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's one of the things that keeps us on the road, and also that shows us where this road's going. So Hebrews 11:10, we're going to look at Hebrews 11:10 and Revelation 21. So this is talking about Abraham. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So where does this road lead, guys? Heaven. Yes. Yes, Christ was the chief cornerstone, stones of the 12 apostles, but they're built on Christ. Amen. Revelation 21, 10 to 14. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, and had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereof, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Amen. I think we're going on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and then them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So, as we go along this road, we want to keep out of the ditches. And it would be good to have a talk about materialism and spiritualism and what they are and how they've come into the church. And there's one other thing down under the road, way down under the road, and I call it the abyss. Materialism and spiritualism, if you draw a line where they meet below here, there's the abyss of pantheism. And that's what happened early in our church with Kellogg. Pantheism is materialism and spiritualism combined, where God is in everything. God is in the tree. You can talk to the tree. God is in the rock. God is everywhere, but that puts God down on the level of his created things, and you can't do that. So it's a deception of Satan. The two ditches are deceptions of Satan, and the pantheism is also, and that's something we could get into in another talk. So what happens as we go through, we've been pulled out of the ditch, Christ has placed us on a solid foundation of the road, and we're headed toward the holy city, and the cross is there before us. What happens sometimes as we go along there? As you drive along the road, do you see people that are stuck in the ditch? That have had wrecks in the ditch? And what is our responsibility there? Pull them out. So what can you call yourself? A ditch puller, right? You can pull people out of the ditch. And sometimes, maybe you don't have the power to pull them out of the ditch. What do you have to do? You have to call a tow truck. That's right. As we go along this road to heaven, we're supposed to help people. And sometimes it might be even, God forbid, on Sabbath. Yeah. Yes, get your cow out of the ditch. That's right. So at the very top here, there's an L, and I would like for you to just put under that, L-O-V-E. God loved us, and he gave his son for us. And that's what we need to keep our eyes on. Okay, in conclusion, I'm going to end early because I'm about finished. We're going to read Hebrews 2, 1 to 3. And then I have something else I want to read after that. Hebrews 2, 1 to 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and a disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, which are his apostles? So how are we going to escape if we neglect so great a salvation? This salvation has been given to us, and we need to remember what we hear. And in closing, I would like to read some quotes from the Christ Object Lessons. In the whole satanic force, you think there's a lot of satanic forces out in the world today? In the whole satanic force, there is not power to overcome one soul who, in simple trust, casts himself on Christ. Only by constant renunciation of self and dependence on Christ can we walk safely in this life, or maybe drive. So, fear to trust your own strength. Fear to withdraw your hand from the hand of Christ and attempt to walk life's pathway without his abiding presence. Amen. How simple is that? For our closing hymn, we want to sing, I think it's 444, I'm a Pilgrim, and I'm a Stranger. So as we go along on this road, let us pull people out of the ditch as God puts them there. Amen.